And it's time for you folks to do the same. I hope you got your coffee in your hand. And I want to welcome you, wherever you are across the country and around the world, to When Numb Is Not Enough, sponsored by Grassroots Talk, Flashback Academy. Find out more about that maybe a little bit later in the show, because we're going to hurry up and get right over there to Dr. Clark so she can talk about today's topic. Take notes if you have to. Get the help that you need so you can be the best version of yourself that you can possibly be. Good morning, Dr. Clark.
Good morning. Good morning, afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be joining from today. I appreciate you taking the time to sit with us in this space as we continue our conversation about grief and loss and how to live life with the intention and purpose to honor that loss. And I understand that sometimes it gets very hard because the nature of grief and loss and losing someone or something can be heavy. And there are times when we don't want to move on, right? We get stuck in that place. But my desire and my prayer is that as we continue to fellowship together and to share this faith, that there's something that is said that can motivate you into a shift in your mindset that will allow you to consider living life with intention and purpose and honoring that loss. And so it is my understanding that today, Mr. Brown, we have a statement or a comment that is due for some discussion.
Yes, let me repeat it. There's an individual out there, not unlike probably many of us, but we don't want to admit it. We may be grieving. That's emotional pain that sometimes translates into physical pain, but it's accompanied by something that is kind of a dark secret for some of us. Sometimes it comes out, which is anger while you're grieving. And it kind of doesn't make sense when you say it, but if you're in the middle of it, you get it. I'm going to give you an example, not necessarily from the caller because they were, or the person who texted us. It went something like this. Well, for me, I was mad at my father for beating me as a child. I carried that anger for quite a while. And on his deathbed, watching him get his last breath, the next thing that came out of my mouth was praying to God to give him one more breath so that we would be able to enjoy his or have his company here on earth. Well, that didn't happen. Then I go further. I had a brother. We call him the baby brother because he's younger than everybody else. But he had asked me for something, and I gave it to him. But I told him, I really can't give this to you without you returning it because I need it. Oh, don't worry about it. I got your back is what he says. Well, needless to say, he didn't give it back, and 3 or 4 months later, he wound up passing. So, again, I'm kind of grieving for the loss, but I'm also mad. I probably should be more forgiving, But I'm accepting the fact that this is also part of me and maybe just part of my grieving and loss process to elevate myself to be able to continue on with life. I don't know. So I thought I'd just throw it out here to the doctor from the person who wrote or texted us and also from me. Dr. Clark, can you help me? Because I'm still mad.
Hopefully I can offer some words of encouragement.
Okay.
So as we know, when we are going through the stages of grief and loss, anger is definitely one of those stages that we find ourselves vacillating back and forth in, right? And that stage is actually necessary in order for the healing process to take place. Anger is one of those emotions that we can visibly see and that we try to keep in check most often. And so what we might find in that stage, it may present as being a little pessimistic, some sarcasm, some irritability, being aggressive or even passive aggressive, finding yourselves being very argumentative, and if not using drugs or alcohol, maybe beginning to use or finding an increase in using that, and then some of the feelings that we may have as a result of this. Yes, we might find ourselves mad, but not mad in the sense that we're crazy or going insane, but just at the situation itself, and we might find ourselves becoming frustrated, impatient, and even at some point there may be some rage involved, right, which is that it's very intense anger that we sometimes might feel not in control of, right? So then it makes sense that we at some point may feel out of control, and then some resentment. And resentment is important when we have anger because we want to look at where is our anger coming from. And anger is closely tied to resentment because when we have a loss, oftentimes it puts us in a different situation, right? And it puts us in a position that we don't like being in. That's uncomfortable for us to be in. It's unsettling for us to be in. And so, yeah, we might have a little resentment, especially when we know that maybe it could have been prevented. If there were some things that maybe our loved one could have done differently, maybe if they would have taken better care of themselves, maybe if they would have just reached out and asked for help. And then the flip side of that is there something more that we could have done? Did they come to us? Did they look for help? Was there something that we could have done and that we made the decision not to do? Or was it something more that we could have done? We did a little bit just to say, well, I did this, so, you know, I did my part. But was there something else that we could have done? So when we're dealing with anger and we're dealing with being mad, we want to get to the root of it, right? Because remember the impact that the loss has on us is relational. And it's directly correlated to the relationship that you held with that loved one or love object or that love, you know, or that thing, whether it was tangible or intangible. And so because of that, the intensity of how we go through these stages will vary. And so if we had a very intense relationship with this loved one, then there may be more anger there. There may be some more feelings of being mad there than usual. Maybe there were some things unresolved in that relationship. And so now we, again, looking at the root of this? What is the root of it? Is it within you? Is it something that you should have been more forgiving about or could have looked at something differently? And so we kind of have to go there and do that self-inspection with ourselves to try to see where this is coming from. Because we know that there is a sense of normalcy to have strong reactions during this time, but we also want to make sure that we are clear as to where these strong reactions are coming from. Are they coming from a place of sincerity, from love, from intense passion and care that we have from this person? Is it coming from a selfish place because we're kind of beating up on ourselves? Where is it coming from? And once we can identify where it's coming from that's causing such a strong impact and affect us in such a way, then we can start dissecting it and giving ourselves some grace for the pace and allowing ourselves to be open to the healing process and move into a space of, now, how do I channel this anger into something where I can now find a gift in this whole situation and be able to, you know, to live again? Comments, Mr. Brown?
As I'm listening to this, I'm obviously processing. It made a whole lot of sense. But I got to add another piece to this.
Okay.
Is my anger misplaced? Because as you were continuing on, I'm thinking, what am I really mad at? Am I mad at the individual for something that they were not capable of following through with because it was time for them to go meet their maker? Or am I mad at myself for not communicating effectively? So I'm wondering, regret a part of the grief and love process? Does it have
regret
a place in this conversation?
Definitely can have a place in it. Again, if we look at if there are situations where we could have been more helpful and we were not. Grief and loss brings about a whole lot of regret in situations, especially when relationships were strained and didn't make amends before this loss happened.
Aha, yes, that's it.
So then that brings on a lot of self-guilt, it brings on resentment, it brings on all of those things that now we're having these two battles going on within us, right? We have this process of trying to deal with this loss, but now we're dealing with our own internal battle with ourselves because are we angry at the situation, the loss? Are we angry at ourselves for allowing ourselves to be in the midst of something that could have looked differently? And then I think for you, maybe some of the resentment or the anger and being mad may come from the fact that you knew that this person was not capable of returning what it is that you gave to them. But because of who you are and your nature and being compassionate towards helping others, you wanted to be of some assistance to them. And so what I would encourage you to do was that, okay, find the gift in that. right, that I was able to be a support to this person before they made their transition. And if that was the last positive interaction you had with that person, then let that be what calms and settles your spirit. It's a greater need in that.
Ding, 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 ding. Folks, I don't know if you recognize what just happened. I have to share this with you. Because most of the time in therapy, it's an ongoing process. And but when you hit that one chord or that one phrase or whatever the case might be, and you see it and you recognize it, you go, you know, that's a better way to deal with it. And to become at ease right at that moment, I'm sharing this glory with you folks and letting you know that this worked. Yes, this was not a script. This was reality-based. And because Dr. Clark knows me enough, I don't have but one way to do this is be real. So thank you, Dr. Clark. Now I'm back with my wits. And we can continue on with the show now, okay? Because I'm no longer mad at nobody because my last interaction, well, thank God there was some kind of reaction, okay, or interaction. And sometimes things don't have to be settled tight in a bow to become, hey, this is how it ended, okay? But I'd rather have been in a position of being able to give at that time because no matter what they may have thought about me, it had elevated to a point of, you know, I think I can count on this guy. I was accused, Dr. Mm-hmm. Clark, this is not a session, the other day, that by a very good friend of mine, he says, your compassion is your weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, oh, yeah. Really? And mm-hmm. I didn't want to agree with that because I was looking to accomplish something, but he says you're going to have to toughen up to do it because the people you're going to have to go through, you're going to have to be a little bit more ruthless because being the nice guy, you're not going to win. You got to be very matter-of-fact and almost demanding, or at least in your actions, commanding enough to get their attention so that they are able to move or move out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, because he called me weak, but, you know, we're grown-ups and we had these kind of conversations. But it still kind of stung a little bit. Like, really, that's what you think? You know, I tried to throw up my chest and all this, but that didn't work, okay? So sometimes we got to look at us. I think that's what the doctor is saying. So you folks, you heard a revelation. I'm done. I'm going to leave this alone here and let her finish doing what she's doing, and I'm just going to bask in the glory of this for a moment as I prepare to move on with the rest of my day. I'm taking my last cup of coffee. Go ahead, Dr. Clark.
Thank you. So I thought in our conversation we would revisit or start to look at, because I know time is running out. We've been talking about how do we honor. What is it to honor? You know, what is it to live a life of intention? What is it to live a life of purpose and honor someone? How do you honor someone when they're gone, right? We have the traditional methods by which we do honor those who have made the transition within our cultures, within our families. We have memorial services. We have funeral services. We have what's called wakes. Sometimes in the faith-based community, if it's someone who was very instrumental in the music part, or if they were musicians, or if they were singers, and sometimes they will have concerts in their honor, you know, musical celebrations. Families will do like family family dinners and things like that. Go see them, you know, go to the grave site and that, and all those things are good, right? And so we come up with these things as a whole. But as of an individual, excuse me, level, creating that space and finding some good in all of this is what the core, is what's at the core of our grief and loss workshops. I have such a tickle in my throat right now. And at that core is what is known as, we're familiar familiar with that, post-traumatic syndrome, right? But there's also something called PTG, and that's post-traumatic growth. And what that is finding the positive possibilities out of traumatic events. And if dealing with grief and dealing with loss is not a traumatic event, then I don't know what is. But in that, there's always a silver lining somewhere if we allow ourselves just to be open to that. And so we'll finish this, definitely finish this conversation on Thursday. But there's generally like seven areas that people look at, but there's five that they really kind of hone in on. And so the first way that we encourage people to find new life or to find this new rebirthing themselves as they create this new way of being is to see where they can have a greater appreciation of life or a changed sense of priority. And so what is it about this loss that can give you that shift in your mindset for you to look at things a little differently, right? What priority can we now set in place? For example, my sister who's lived in Oklahoma all her life, as a result of my brother's passing, her mindset was, okay, I have to shift. I need to live my life to the fullest because my brother was only 53 years old and he's gone. So I need to get it together. So what did she do? She made a change in how she prioritized things in her life, packed up her whole life, and moved to Texas and is starting this new way of living. And she said she would not have ever done that had this event had not happened in her life and had such an impact on her. And so now she's looking every day as to how she can live life to the fullest and redefine who she is as a woman, as of separating herself from being the mother, from being the grandmother, from being the friend, you know, from being the homegirl. So now looking at what life can do for her and how she can be a better person in life. So just having a greater appreciation in general for life. And then the last one we'll talk about today is building more intimate, deeper, warmer relationships. What we find during this time of grief and loss is that it can bring out the ugly in some people. And people who we've had relationships with and have known them one way all of our lives, we see some light bulbs come on and we see some sides of people that we don't enjoy seeing. And so how do I take those relationships and still love, but know where my limits and my boundaries are? Or maybe there are some relationships that I want to rebuild on and I just don't know how to do it. I just haven't had courage to do it. This would be a time to do that, to look at where we can mend some relationships that have been strained or look at some relationships that have not been setting up well and that we might need to cut off, because sometimes we do need to cut relationships off because they don't serve us anymore in the space that we find ourselves in at that particular time. There's a time, there's a reason, and a season for everything. A relationship that way. I'm looking at our time, Mr. Brown. Do you have any final comments?
No, I think you've been doing fantastic. I'm still basking in the most recent cure that you've done for me. So I'm just overjoyed, okay?
Great. So because I'm looking at our time here, we have a couple minutes. So So before our time together on Thursday, I want those who are listening to join us again so that we can finish these areas where we can learn how to embrace this horrific event that has happened in our lives, but find the gift that can come out of it as well. So let's take our deep breaths in and let's exhale as we go to my favorite go-to guy, Dr. Alan Wolfick, from the Journey to Grief Reflections on Healing, as we listen to and ponder and think about these words. As I allow myself to mourn, I create an opening in my heart, releasing the tensions of grief, surrendering to the struggle means freeing myself to go forward. Think about that until we meet again on Thursday. And until then, give yourself permission to grieve. Thank you guys for joining us today.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Clark. And let's take it out.
Start it all over again. It's gonna be rough. So rough. But we're gonna make it. We're gonna make it. Oh yes, we're gonna start it all over again.